Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
I'm kind of upset that I'm not going to get to see AC/DC on this tour. It doesn't look like it. They're in Las Vegas tomorrow night, Sue. Ooh. And I've been watching a lot of the clips on Instagram of the tour. And let's see, Allegiant Stadium, they go to Ford Field, then Gillette out in Foxborough, Pittsburgh, Landover, Maryland, Tampa, Florida, Nashville, Chicago, Cleveland.
Wow.
Then they go overseas, but nothing here. You know, you do have Nashville, I guess.
Nashville
would be the place to go.
Totally agree.
To the football stadium down there. Although I don't mind Soldier Field as a stadium. It looks weird from the outside. But that is, I would make my exception on not seeing artists over the age of 70 for
AC/DC. Yeah.
Yeah, I would. But Tim Summer is going to join us a little bit later this hour. Tim's our favorite music guy, of course. He's a music journalist. He was there in the infancy of MTV. He signed Hootie and the Blowfish. Then he wrote a book last year about doing that. He looked at some of the tours that are out across the country, including AC/DC, but he really focused on St. Louis and what might be coming here. So we're going to have some picks, some selections, if you will, Sue. Speaking of concerts, Brooks and Dunn in town tonight at Enterprise Center, so keep that in mind. If you're coming downtown for the Cardinals game, it might be a little bit more crowded. But Tim will address all the concert situations, and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame winners, I think, are announced tomorrow. I think I said Sunday, but it might be tomorrow. We'll see where his head is on that coming up. I also have an audio cut of the day. One of the big stories today is this Wisconsin judge who was arrested for lying, or basically wasn't lying. Paul Morrow's going to really explain it here in a moment. Essentially giving the feds information about an illegal that was in her courthouse, and that did not turn out so well for her. But we'll find out all of that and more here. Fox News' Paul Morrow, who is a retired NYPD inspector. He's an attorney. He's the founder of a great website called theopsdesk.org. Lots to talk about. The Gilgo Beach case, the documentary, Karen Reach trial is underway. Paul, how are you this afternoon? Welcome back.
Good. How you doing, Mark?
Doing pretty well. I'm heading out of the country this weekend, so I'm kind of excited about that. Of course, my colleague Sue.
Rub it in.
Yeah, and my listeners are probably sick and tired of hearing that. But yeah, I'm excited that it's this Friday, Paul.
I'm sure you are. I'm stuck here in Hell's Kitchen, so let's not talk about it.
Well, let's talk about what's going on the planet right now. And this whole thing I talked about a couple hours ago on my Reardon Roundtable on 97.1 FM Talk, the arrest of these judges, and on the Wisconsin situation in particular, I find interesting. And now you already have protesters out there saying, release the judge, release the judge. I don't think the judge is in a jail cell right now, but this is rather fascinating, this development, isn't it?
Well, you know, I'm going to take a little bit, no, let's not call it a victory lap, but maybe take a little bit of credit for prescience. And here's why. At the end of the day, if you really play out all the vectors involved here, what you end up with, what you default to, is the fact that the federal government has supremacy, period, end of story. So there have been a number of instances here as part of the entire sort of sanctuary city mentality that the local judges really seem to have been obstructionists. She's not the first one who's pulled a stunt like this. And I've been advocating, and I've actually written on it. You mentioned the Ops Desk. It's on my Substack. If you go to opsdesk.org, it goes right to the Substack. And I've written about the fact that what the federal government should be doing is exactly what they did here. And here's why. The problem with getting a lot of the worst first out is finding them. These guys are very elusive, especially the gangbangers. They're connected in all different cities. They travel city to city. We've seen the connectivity between New York City, Aurora, and Miami, and out Athens, Georgia, with the Lake and Riley case. So as these guys go mobile, it's very tough for local law enforcement or even the feds to keep track of them. But one place they often do turn up is court dates, because they're locked up on state charges. So the guy does a robbery, does an assault, whatever, narco charges, he's in state custody. You know for a date certain, on April 18th, April 22nd, whatever, at 2 p.m., he's going to be in that courthouse. That's your ex right there.
Your
ex marks the spot. You go in with the warrant. You say, I got a warrant for this guy, federal warrant for this guy. It's a removal order. It's not a detention request, which doesn't have the force of a judge. This is a warrant from a federal judge. Everybody in that courthouse, from the state judges to the corrections officers to the court officers, are subservient to that. And if you get in the way, including the judge, you are liable. And finally, it looks like the rubber hit the road. That whole paradigm just played out. And that is what happens in a nation of laws. So they can protest, they can stand on their heads. But if, in fact, the judge did this, and that's, you know, it's going to be a fact issue. But if the judge did what's alleged, then you know what? Tough luck.
Yeah.
And she's looking at maybe losing her license, and that's all she deserves.
So in this situation, though, Paul, what do we know about that case? Hannah Dugan's the judge. They say that there was this illegal that was supposed to be arrested in the courthouse. To your point, there was a court date at Eduardo Flores Ruiz, and she sort of directed the agents away from where he was. Do we know anything about the particulars there?
Yeah, so that's where the wiggle room is, and that is why I caveated it a little bit regarding it being a fact issue, because, of course, she has her story and the feds have theirs. Now, this is one of those things where, look, you're going to arrest a judge in a courtroom, you better have the facts right. So, if indeed he did what's alleged, which is there's two different strands of reporting here. One from a local reporter who broke the story, who seems to be quite well-sourced, says that she told the arrestee, the perp, Ruiz, to go essentially hide in the jury room, which I can just tell you is a sacrosanct area of the courthouse.
Right.
Only the jury, the judge, and the court officers are supposed to have access. The other story is that she directed him to a public area, and that seems to be her out, because she's going to say, no, I just told him, get out of the courtroom. He went to a public area. He was by the elevators or whatever. That's all I did. And she's going to try to, you know, make that wiggle room her safe harbor. And it's really going to come down to what she actually did. But if she did indeed obstruct the way DOJ is alleging, the FBI and then DOJ is alleging, then not only does she deserve what she gets, but I hope this stands for the larger proposition that, and I've been saying it from the beginning, because this is just a logical conclusion. You know where these guys are going to be. Everybody's complaining, oh my God, they're just turning them loose, and it's the same bunch of illegal migrant criminals. Well, we know where they are. When they're in custody, in state custody, grab them then. And if corrections or a judge or a court officer or local cops get in the way, you're part of the case now. And then that's it. I would be going into jails, state jails.
Right.
With warrants and just saying, produce the body. And if you don't, you're going too. And you watch how fast they'll give these bodies up.
It's just, to me, it's fascinating, Paul, how the default position every time with the Democrats is, oh, we're going to take the side of the criminal. We're going to take the side of the illegal. And, you know, this BS about it only being about due process, give me a break. Now, I don't know where you are exactly on Abrego Garcia. There is a part of me that wishes they would fly him back here, serve him some caviar on the plane, give him some margaritas, maybe some real margaritas, and then kick his ass back out of the country, because they keep playing due process. It's only about due process. You know as well as I do, he gets back here and that happens. Wait, they don't have due process to lay on, but they're not going to be happy that he got kicked out of the country because they love gangbangers and criminals. I don't get it.
I don't get it either, and it's not a winner politically. It's just where emotionally they seem to default to. But it also comes out of the fact that anything Donald Trump does, they want to oppose. But let's tease out Abrego Garcia a little bit, because I think, and I've been writing about this, and I've been putting it out on social media, sir. I think there's an original sin relative to Abrego Garcia that everybody is missing and you're not hearing about, and that's the following. The reason they have any purchase on Abrego Garcia, just to recount the facts, is, let's recall, two different judges said, yep, he's amenable to deportation, get him out, he's MS-13. Okay, fair enough. However, one judge said, I'm going to put in a withholding order. And what does that mean? He said he can't go back to El Salvador because, according to Abrego Garcia, if he goes back to El Salvador, his life is in danger from other gang members because of his affiliation with their team. And so as a result, he can go anywhere in the world, but not El Salvador. And that, by the way, is the mistake, quote unquote, that the Trump administration is admitting to. They're saying, we made a mistake by sending him to El Salvador. We should have sent them someplace else.
Right.
Well, aside from the fact that it's going to be very tough to find another country who wants an admitted gangbanger, because he is. I'm not going to play any games on this, all right? This guy's got 13 tattoos. He was picked up with a bunch of 13 members. Mark, let me just tell
you. Oh, my God,
experience
I know.
Speaking.
I know.
You can't be hanging around with a bunch of 13 members, flying their colors, wearing their flag, and not be a 13 member. So let's just get past
that. Well, let me just go with this. You know, I love the fact that he has MS-13 on his knuckles. Doesn't everyone get gang tattoos on their knuckles when they're not in a gang, Paul?
Oh, yeah, of course. I got TDA tattooed on my tuckets.
Right.
Come on. It's
exactly.
Now, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. Who is this judge who entertained and put in this withholding order? Why is it the responsibility of the judiciary, of the American judiciary, to make these fine line distinctions relative to gang competition in foreign countries? So you're telling me you're a Salvadoran national, that's your nation. Yes, you're here illegally. Yes, you're a member of a gang. But you're worried about going home because the conditions there, thanks to you joining a gang, are hostile to you? Get lost. Not our problem. And that's the original sin here, and you're not hearing it from anybody. And I can't believe the talking point is being missed. If the whole dispute, the whole controversy is predicated on the idea that he couldn't go back to El Salvador because of his withholding order and the Trump administration blew through it, what we should be doing is saying these sorts of distinctions should not be the responsibility of the American judiciary. And I think this is a congressional fix, Mark. We got 11 million illegals just from the last administration that came in unvetted. I know they're not all gangsters. Thank God. Most of them are hardworking. I get all that. They are here illegally.
Right.
Different issue. Well, you want to get rid of the worst first. We're going to need a congressional fix for an expedited expulsion process. And we cannot entertain the quote-unquote due process with a capital D and a capital P here, because it'll take forever, on 11 million people and the, let's say, 1% to 2% of whom are gangbangers, and we got to worry about conditions in their home country. I'm sorry, but it's not my problem.
Look, that was well stated, better than anyone has explained it so far, Paul Morrill. So, you know, kudos on that for sure. I want to get a couple more topics in here before I let you go. Karen Reed's trial's underway. I admitted to you I was kind of fascinated by, you know, what the Max series on this. I think she's guilty, but, you know, she does have a strong defense team. There's seemingly some reasonable doubt. Any way to gauge the way that trial's starting out in Boston?
I'm hearing it's going better today. I have good sourcing up there. The first couple of days were a little rough for the prosecution. Jackson dinged up the initial witnesses pretty good, I think most specifically when he got Kerry Roberts to say that she, quote-unquote, misstated some of her testimony in the grand jury as compared to what she said later. That's a problem because once you are a, quote-unquote, I don't want to say liar because she's saying she didn't do it on purpose, but once you haven't been exactly accurate, it's very easy for the jury to say, well, then who is accurate on the prosecution side? That stuff tends to be sort of contagious. But that said, Brennan is doing something very, very clever. He is juxtaposing the testimony in court from live witnesses with video of Karen Reed taken from her campaign, her charm campaign, on HBO Cinemax. But here's the thing. He also got, thanks to the magic of subpoenas, he also got the uncut stuff, the stuff that ended up on the cutting room floor, the stuff that they didn't edit.
Wow.
So he's got stuff that looks a lot more natural, and they see her laughing about the whole thing, saying things that I'm sure she'd like to have back that she never thought would come out. And so he's already painting her as a little bit of a, maybe more than a little bit of a villainess. So in the terms of the battle for the hearts,
right,
of the jury. Right now, I might give a 55 to 60% edge to Brennan, especially after he put the mother on the stand and then they did the same thing. They played some videotape. Where I think it's going to come down in terms of the head. If that's the heart, let's do the head, the Google search. The Google search was by far the most dispositive element of the case the first time around. The testimony was that it happened at 2:27 before the body was found, and Jen McCabe, one of the women at the party, is the one who did the Google search. If that's the case, There's no way she should have known there was a body in the snow. Jen McCabe is in on it. Here's the problem. Cellebrite.
Yeah.
The Israeli forensic digital company that did the extraction, who I know well. I used to work with them. They're top of the food chain. They're excellent. However, they blew this.
Yeah. And they admitted it, right?
What I'm hearing, they're going to admit it, and they're going to be a prosecution witness and say, no, we changed our software as a result of this case because we got it so bad when we looked back at it. We were wrong the first time around. It was done at 6:20. 6:20. Right when Jen McCabe says Karen Reed at the scene told her to do it. And in fact, it's a first responder that's going to corroborate that.
Well, that makes sense.
That's going to be tough.
Yeah, and that if that comes out, because that certainly was a key, you know, sticking point in the first trial where I think it planted a lot of reasonable doubt. How about, look, Paul, we don't have time to do this, but I am so fascinated because I also watched the Gilgo Beach murder documentary. Holy moly. I mean, you and I have talked about that before, but for those of us who don't live in that area and aren't as familiar with the case, it's mind-blowing. Outside of the murders and Rex Sherman, the corruption in Suffolk County that was highlighted was stunning.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Yeah, I don't believe this stuff that you're hearing that the chief of police, Chief Burke, had something to do with the murders. He almost certainly did not. That is mission creep in terms of what went on with him. Look, he was far from an upstanding citizen. God bless you. Full disclosure, I've met him a few times at conventions and things like that because it's near New York City. I had to work with his people. I had no involvement in this case here, but he turns out to be not a good guy. That said, he's not the killer. They got the right guy. That said, under Burke, because he was obstructionist, he didn't let all the tools, in my opinion, that could have been used, because Suffolk County has good people. It's a big agency. They had the horses, but somehow or other, they missed a witness that had tangled with Heuermann a little bit at the scene of the last victim when he picked before he picked her up. So he had seen the guy and he had seen the car. And let's remember something. Using the same digital evidence that they had 12 years ago, the same evidence, a young state police officer from the New York State Police, who her name's not out, I'm not going to say it, but because I don't know it, actually, but it'll come out at trial. If he goes to trial, looks like he's going to. We took the same digital evidence and in about a month came up with the name. Now, I know the methodology she used, and if you do phone work, it is the most obvious methodology. And the idea that they didn't do it, Suffolk didn't do it, is mind-boggling. But I'm just going to add one caveat you don't hear again to advance the story. The FBI data is what she used. The FBI mapped the cell sites in order to ascertain, they were trying to investigate the case. And the big argument is that Burke didn't let the FBI help him. Well, she used FBI data. And my big caveat to this all along here is, where was the FBI then? Why didn't they assert jurisdiction? A lot of these girls came from across state lines. They'd have no problem getting jurisdiction. If they were so interested in the case, why didn't they take it? Because they could have solved it the same way this state cop did. More power to her. But there's more blowback here than just the Suffolk PD, who didn't get all of the facts in line. Bureau was, I think, absent as well. There's a lot to answer for here. Thankfully, it doesn't look like he killed anybody subsequent to that investigation. But ultimately, they got him, and more power to the Suffolk people that got him now.
Well, yeah, and look, I always warned, as good as that documentary was, there's always things that they keep out. You mentioned Karen Reed, too. The TV show is different than real life. Paul, this was great stuff. I always appreciate you coming on here. Have a great weekend. I appreciate it.
Enjoy the country, pal. Good to hear from you.
Get more at 971talk.com.